Hey everyone, welcome back as we watch up number 217. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves on this muggy ass week.
No kidding. And we're going to the beach Friday for a week. So one, yes, I'm going to come back with coronavirus. But then two, man, if it's like this on the shore, oof, it's going to be a rough week and a half. So, but I'm prepared for both, so we're good. Especially, and I just want to get into this right now. I know we were talking about wrestling before, but especially after Sunday night where we just finished watching this movie now, Uncut Gems. So why was I supposed to like that movie? I'm totally confused.
I have no, Adam Sandler being serious, or people like seeing people, a white guy shout for 2 hours in New York.
Everybody was shouting. I remember you telling me that it was just people arguing for the whole movie. I'm like, okay. From the onset of that movie, people were just yelling at each other. And I'm going, this has got to stop, right? Like, 25 minutes go by. 30 minutes go by. It's Monday. And I'm like, what the hell? Everyone complained The Irishman was too long, right? That movie seemed like 30 minutes compared to this thing. And this was only 2.5 hours. It had an hour less than The Irishman. Man. Sandler was good. Some of the direction was good. But goddamn, that story, the story I guess wasn't too bad, but everything else, I didn't like anybody in this movie. Which I guess maybe that didn't help either. There isn't one likable person in the movie. Except maybe The Weeknd. But he's not even a real character.
I'm watching the movie. I'm like, so this is what everyone was hyped about, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I see, like, just Adam Sandler being an asshole to everybody. And other people being assholes. And like, oh, look at Kevin. I'm like, that's Kevin Garnett being himself. The Weeknd being himself. And him howling. I'm like, people must like this because, like, they sick of him doing funny voices. And his mistress got a big butt.
Yes.
Beyond that, I'm like, I do not get it. Because I'm like, oh, this. Because I saw people tweeting about, like, oh, da-da-da-da. Adam Sandler back to form. And Oscar nomination. And I'm like, what, 2019? This Oscar? I'm like, hey, there's no way in the world. When I'm finished watching this, I'm like, what was the point?
That's the other point. That's the other problem. There was absolutely no point to this movie, except, I guess, greed. Greed is bad. I guess. I don't know. Like, family's more important. Because even, all right, so was that his brother?
Brother-in-law.
Okay, that's, all right, that's what I thought. But it's like, you know, because he even kept telling him, we're family. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And the guy wouldn't listen. And Sandler, you know, wanted to get back with the wife, but he decided he was going with the girlfriend instead. And it's like, oh my God. So I guess that's the point. If they would have just stuck his family, none of this, they'd still be alive. Spoilers, they'd still be alive at the end. Like,
and it's just Adam Sandler robbing Peter to pay Paul and all of that. Oh, and normally movies kind of like bad stuff happens and then it works out the end and everything happily ever after when they win that one magical bet. And this one, it was like, nope, that shit didn't make a difference. That's how it normally happens in real life. People will just get tired of your shit, and they're like, I'll, you know, enough of this. So when that part happens, you know, spoiler, when he gets shot, I'm like, oh, that was surprising. But now, like, that fits the rest of this movie, because this movie just been a bunch of miserable people being miserable to each other.
Yes, and then made it for a miserable viewing experience. Because I saw some people, that might have been Elise's friend, she was showing, I was like, yeah, like, this one person I know, they just walked out of the theater. Like, they couldn't take it anymore. And I'm like, that's the exact opposite of everything I've heard about this. And then, as it goes on, I'm like, okay. And then, I know it's a movie, which we'll get to some more later, but people really act like this. Like, that's, I didn't understand his business. So he's a jeweler, but he doesn't make any money? Like,
he sells, like, he makes money selling jewelry, but he seems like he spends all his profits gambling.
See, all right, see, that was never made clear. because I know they had like Mike Francesca, which it just the people in this were random as well. But then they had Mike Francesca as like the bookie. But then I was trying to figure out, did he borrow money from the brother-in-law to get that rock? And it was taking forever. And he's like, "Hey, you need to give me the money back." And then he gets the money. He's just trying to do whatever to get the money back.
It's like he already owed people money, multiple people money.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, let me borrow this ring from Kevin Garnett, sell the ring, and I make enough money through gambling to buy the ring back to let Kevin Garnett. I'm like, your plan sounds insane. You ripping off Kevin Garnett?
Yeah.
Because you come on now.
And I don't know the world of basketball or celebrity. I guess it'd be a better part, but like celebrity athletes. So the one guy, I don't even remember people's names. That's how disinterested I was. But like the guy that was like he was fencing his watches. He could just show up at the Boston Celtics practice.
That part's actually the most realistic part in the movie. I mean, you got friends like that. That's how it go.
Man, I just wouldn't imagine Kevin Garnett would have. Like, I don't know. That's why I said, I don't know anything about like that kind of celebrity. Like, who the fuck are these guys? But, and after a while, I didn't care. And, like, just the way Adam Sandler acts when he gets to the practice facility, just runs in, takes a ball, and I'm like, he'd get his ass thrown out immediately. Like, what are we doing here? But, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like I wasted 2.5 hours.
It's good to have it. It's hard to have an opinion of something you haven't seen, so now you see it and you have a valid opinion.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And Jesus Christ, man, I don't care if I ever see that again. And I would actually suggest people don't watch it. If you want to waste your time, that's fine. Form your own opinion, that's fine. But and this is from the guy who watches RoboCop and Predator every single time it's on, even though I know everything that's going to happen. But you know. Some would say that's a waste of time. That's where I was going with that. But, so anyways, Uncut Gems. That's a rare 2 thumbs down from this show. So, which is copyrighted. So, never mind. All right. So, let's get into something more positive. I talked to Kevin about this. That's a less than probably 5-minute review of a movie. We've never done that before. Wow.
It's a movie I already saw and didn't want to talk about to spoil it, and now we both saw it and my opinion was it seemed like it's for a very specific fan base and neither one of us fit that fan base.
Who would that be for then?
You already know what it's for. Type of people who like seeing people scream and shout at each other.
Ugh, Italians?
I mean, some people say Italian, some people say Jewish, some people say New Yorker.
Okay, all right.
A lot of critics are kind of like stuff. Like, people who like Woody Allen movies but don't like Woody Allen anymore would like something like that. Guess who?
That's one thing I do need to – I'll back off. I was actually – the parts that I was actually interested in were when they were at dinner. And they were having, I don't know what kind of traditional Jewish dinner that was or whatever that was. That part was interesting to me because that was a world I don't know anything about. And that was like a rare break from all the chaos. You're like, oh, this is kind of nice. But then I understand the point of it was to show, like, even in the middle of this, that this is still going on. It's like, okay. But I did like that part. Like, pulling the curtain back a little bit. So, there's a positive to it. How's that? So, but so I did talk to Kevin about this, and we talked about it on the last Stunt Granny Audio, and I told him I was never a huge fan of Sasha Banks, not a huge one. Okay, like I knew she was good. I wasn't that big of a fan of her until last week. Yeah, it was last Wednesday when she fought Kairi Sane. Io Shirai, and the end part with the mist and all that was just great. And then just seeing how her and Bailey really just gelled and become like just so goddamn good. And we fast forward to Monday, and you've got Asuka and Bailey, Sasha's involved. Man, they pulled a fast one on us. You know, like, Seth Rollins is supposed to be like the Monday Night Messiah, you know, save everybody from the show. And at SmackDown, whatever. You've actually got legitimate stars now with Bayley and Sasha going all over the place, and it doesn't feel forced.
Fast one on who? That's the funny thing is they've been doing it, and people weren't paying attention because they were busy complaining about Charlotte all the time. And now Charlotte's not there, so it's like, oh, yes, Sasha Banks and Bayley have been good for like a few months now, and you add them with Asuka, who's been good since we haven't had fans, and there you go. And if people wasn't sure about if people really care about Sasha Banks and Bayley, it's like NXT, that main event with Sasha Banks, Io Shirai dominating the ratings. Mm-hmm. Like people, and I just laugh because like Sasha Banks is very good at her job. Yep. And she is very polarizing because people aren't indifferent about her for the most part. They either enjoy her and appreciate how good she is, or they can't stand her because they think she's just a whiny diva baby that only cares about money, which is kind of like this. Most people only care about money when it comes to their jobs.
Well, isn't that her character too? So it's like, are you getting caught up?
No, no, it's character that had nothing to do with it. It was that whole thing after they lost the tag team titles. And there's the whole, oh, she took her ball, she went home, she ain't that good to begin with, she just a mark for herself. They treat her like she Bret Hart. Like, oh, she, you know, she care too much and blah, blah, blah. And then she comes back and it's like, oh, now she only care about money, she trolling us. And it's part of that. And also part of it's kind of like, it's a lot of people that desire Sasha Banks know they can't get with her and they're just mad at it. Because out of the four, it's kind of like she gets a whole lot of like, because it's kind of like Becky Lynch, different type of energy. Charlotte, they know they don't have a chance in hell of doing it. Bayley's Bayley. Yeah. But something about Sasha Banks just can, people don't like her, they really don't like her. And and it's always kind of colored that. Then you add that with Bayley and like Bayley and her goofy haircut. People's yes. Kind of like, I don't know about this heel thing, and just ignoring the fact that they've been entertaining for a while, and now everyone gets to see it.
Here's the thing, Bayley, like, she's doing her. This is why we just need crowds. I mean, I'd be very curious to see what a crowd reaction would be to them, and because Bayley is obnoxious, like she's a dork. The whole knock knock, slide to the side, who's there thing. I mean, that's what a tool does that thinks they're funny. It's frat guy humor is what she's doing. And then, conversely, she does all the stuff with, like, Michael Cole, like, jumping on the table, yelling at him, throwing the belt in his face. And I'm like, that's what Rock used to do. He used to treat the announcers like garbage, and people started cheering. So it's like, Rock's the biggest babyface asshole ever, and we got these two, like, Sasha's just kind of snotty, and I guess that's what she's going for, where Bayley's the obnoxious one. And it works, which of course it should, because they're friends, which I think a lot of people, not a lot, but I think that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Like, the four of them are actually, like, legit friends. I mean, you know, things change after a while, but, so, it's just, I don't know, like, I know it said, like, pull the wool over everyone's eyes, or, like, snuck them in on us, but they are, see, because what I mean by that is when they tried that with Charlotte, it was like, ugh, no. Because Charlotte's character is not supposed to be on all three shows. Like, that character. But these two can get away with anything. They're just antagonizing everybody. And for right now, getting away with it. Until, well, last night, I guess. But, no, I've just been super impressed with them. They are a reason to tune in. And I just loved it. Even last night, like, of course, you mix in Asuka, of course. And then Kairi Sane comes back, which apparently is only going to be until next week. That's the rumor, at least, which would be kind of bad. But, you know, it's her decision, so, of course, who are we to say anything differently? But just after last night, Kairi Sane getting in there, don't you kind of want to see her go with Sasha and Bayley?
Of course I do. Yeah. People wanted to see that from Jump Street.
Yeah. And now she's going to be leaving, probably. Which...
Is that verified, or is that rumored?
Meltzer said it a few months ago, And then apparently her contract's up soon. Like, I mean, as in this week, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rey Mysterio's contract is up as of now.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a match that they're hyping up, so.
Yeah.
I don't think that only matters if they want it to matter. Like, because kind of like, if people want to stay, they're going to stay. If they don't, they don't, because I remember the big thing, Drake Maverick lost his job.
Yeah.
They turned to a storyline. Now he's on now he has a job, so.
Yeah, that's so weird. And then Triple H said it was because of the way he handled everything. And I'm like, wait, what did everyone else do wrong? You know what I mean? Like, EC3 just started making his promos for coming up and being somebody different. Like, wouldn't that make you sit back and go,
I think it also helps if they like you.
Yeah, which...
That always helps.
Yeah, well, it's like one person directly likes you, for sure.
That's why I say so, they. Yeah. They only has to be, like, the right person.
Yeah. But and that's the weird thing for me. It's like, EC3, why wouldn't you just put him back in NXT?
I don't know why he went there in the first place.
Well, there was nowhere else to go. That time where Impact or TNA wasn't paying anybody.
Yeah, so, but I'm like, once he was there, I'm like, you know, they pay you more money, God bless you, but I'm kind of like, he's not the type of person, you know, that I would think would thrive there, because he's big, but he's not WWE big. He's big compared to people that's in, like, Impact big or AEW big. I'm like, you put him next to real people, not real people, like muscle men that they normally have, and that whole gimmick kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, and then I think you've pointed out in the past, his personality is kind of weird, too. So, I mean, they tried to give him, what, the top 1% gimmick, and as soon as he got to the main roster, that was dead. Because no one barely has a gimmick anymore, which is just amazing to see how that's just gone to the side.
Look, one thing I have learned, and the thing that's learned, like, without fans, is kind of like, your personality, your true personality will be your best gift. Because if you have a personality and you can't rely on just a regular gimmick for the most part, then 99% of the time you will thrive. If you do not, then you're going to drown. Because you see the people that's thriving and you see the people that's drowning. And the people that are thriving for the most part are just doing based on power of personality.
Yeah.
Or power just kind of like, besides the whole Karrion Kross thing, because that's new. Everybody else is just kind of getting over, because like, I use, for example, Dexter Lumis. I have no idea why I like him at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't like him that much in TNA, and I see him doing the same game when he first come in. I don't know if it's the mustache or he just wrestles in, like, khakis. And it's just kind of like, he just comes out, he has creepy music, he wrestles like a criminal, but he sells. It's not like The Undertaker where they're like, you know, he sells, he wrestles, and like, he's 100% into the gimmick he's playing. So is the, like, so are the announcers. They put it over. So are people that he wrestles. Like, they treat him like, this man, I might beat him in a match, but he may murder me if I don't leave the ring. And for whatever reason, I just watch. It just works. Sometimes things just work. The Karrion Kross thing, I'm like, this is some goofy, like, syndicated stuff. Mm-hmm. It works because they're going 100% in it. And it's like, if you're going to do something, you don't half-ass. Just do it.
So, where are you at with Timothy Thatcher? Or Tim Thatcher, whatever they call him.
NXT UK gimmick in NXT. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't mind the whole, I used to tough guy thing with Finley and Regal. But honestly, when they did it, it was boring when they did it.
Yeah.
I know it's the whole thing like, oh, he really tough. And I'm like, so? That's your gimmick? I'm tough and I'm ugly? Like, what's the difference? Is it that much difference between him and Danny Burch and Arne Lorcan?
I think he's got a better build. Like, better physique. That's about it. And hair. Yeah,
but is it that much? It's like, okay, no. He's 10% more believable than him. Does it matter that much? Like, you know, not to discount his ability, because he has ability, but the whole, he's a real tough guy. So what's the other people, fake tough guy? I'm like, I just saw Matt Riddle, who I knew was a real tough guy, who didn't have to pretend to be one. He's like, yeah, I'm cool, because I can fight in real life. So when you see, they had enough people that's tough. So if your gimmick is just tough and you ain't like, you know, Roadhouse tough, what difference, then what difference does it make?
See, I'm digging it. I thought they, and now that since Riddle's on SmackDown, I can see why they did it, but I thought they pulled the plug on the Riddle-Thatcher pairing too quick, because you could have gotten more personality out of him, try to get something other than just being the tough guy. But then since Riddle was all getting called up, it's like, oh, okay. But then when they started doing like Thatcher's thing, where he's kind of like a sadist too. He's in there, he's supposed to be helping guys. It almost seems like a Stu Hart thing, where he's just stretching guys for no reason. And I don't. Did you ever see Stu Hart wrestle? I mean, dead serious. Either have I. Like, is there any footage of that? I would guess there is, but he wrestled so long ago, it'd be on film, right?
But who knows?
Yeah, but that's. I'll do a quick YouTube search while doing this. But it's as long as YouTube's been around, I never remember to look. But anyways, but so there's that kind of thing going. It's like, okay, and I kind of can understand like a tough guy gimmick, because people are tough, but you don't understand that until the match is going on. Like, there's not. And I'm not talking like a real man's man, you know, not like that sort of thing. But no, oh yeah, there is Stu Hart Stampede Wrestling. Oh, it's just a 10-minute thing. Eh, whatever. Anyways,
it's hilarious. In 2020, you was like, you figure one day I'm gonna see if I can find footage of Stu Hart wrestling.
Yeah, what a weird thing. And it's apparently out there, but. No, like, NXT seems to be where everyone's got a gimmick of some sort, and then they get on the main roster, and it goes away.
It depends. It's either goes away or gets magnified to its worst possible, and, like, because it's kind of like the Street Profits went from, and they survived, because they went from being cool to, like, we just don't exaggerate the cool stuff to be caricatures, and somehow they made it past that, and it's like, all right, we're just going to let you be you.
Yeah,
and because a lot of times you get hit with that and you don't recover. And the same thing happened with the Viking Raiders, where they became, oh, y'all just going to be Vikings. And it's like, this is God of War. That makes no sense. So now it's kind of like, you know what? Y'all have a gimmick, show a personality, and it's kind of like they let the Street Profits be a little bit more serious. They let the Vikings Raider be a little less serious, and it worked out for both of them.
See, I don't know if it's worked out that well for the Viking Raiders.
Considering what happened to AOP and the Ascension and nearly every other tag team that came from NXT to WWE, you tell me, when's the last time you seen AOP?
Well, they're hurt. That's why.
But even, and so. It's like, they came, but even the first time, they were there, then they vanished, and then they had a gimmick change, and then they vanished again.
Well, even Jordan and Gable, they creamed them from the beginning. Which is a weird one, because like, their gimmick was that they were great wrestlers, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Revival, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a lot of times where it's like, you know, people that whole, oh, I don't know what happened, come to the main roster, are they going to survive or not? And it's like, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And for the most part, women have had a better success rate than the men have. I mean, there's been some exceptions, like Shayna Baszler, because people in charge don't like that style, and that's kind of how it works. But and they don't like the style and the look. But for the most part, women who've come from NXT, if they haven't been hurt all the time, have thrived. The men's been hit and miss.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And that's from day one for that. But no, Shayna, I think one of her problems is she doesn't look a certain way as well. So.
She looks the way she looks.
Yes.
She's older than they normally like, and she wrestles the MMA style, and they don't like that. And I'm not a biggest fan of Shayna Baszler of other people, but I think she should got a. My whole thing is not, it has nothing to do with the gimmick, even though it's like the gimmick works, because like I can't stand watching her. But it's more kind of like I always told people, her style works if she wrestles people with movement. And they set up this whole thing with Becky Lynch. I'm like, that's a bad style, because Becky Lynch is a lot of things. Creating movement is not one of them. She's a clumsy tryhard like John Cena used to be, which is fine if she wrestles the right person. Shayna needs somebody that can bump around and move around and make her look good. Becky Lynch was not that person. Becky Lynch wanted Shayna to win, and then they were like, no. And then that was the end of it.
Yeah, it literally, that's... Well, I guess she was on Main Event this week. So, wow. There you go. And, okay. But yeah, because did she... This is how quick of a blip she was. Did she ever wrestle on Raw? Or was it that forgettable that I'm being dead serious? I totally forgot.
I'm sure she wrestled a few times on Raw. Because, like, you know, she wrestled... She wanted to get the title, you know, the title shot. She probably wrestled a few times on Raw up to WrestleMania. And then she was in the Money in the Bank match.
That's
and
right.
then since
Barely.
Then,
yeah.
I mean... She was there, and I'll never forget her choking out Rey Mysterio.
Well, that's right, yes. So, and then she got taken out by, what, a broom? No, a mop, right? From Carmella.
It's amazing, like, that match was so wild, and I don't even remember, like, a few of the details.
Yeah.
And, like, people getting thrown off the building. But, like, ever since then, she just vanished. And there's been a lot of that where it's like, you know, women have vanished and they come back. Like, you know, the Iconics were gone for forever, and then they came back.
Yes.
Bianca Belair is still in witness protection.
Who?
Tamina was gone for the longest, then came back, was getting a push. Ruby Riott came back from injury, so now she's there. It's kind of like they rotate people in and out. And I would say this, I've liked Raw a lot lately because they just have a set pattern of, like, you know, we got these 6 or 7 storylines going on. It's the same storylines more or less each week. You just follow along, and it's real simple.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know they had, like, the coronavirus testing going on, and they said up to 30 people. So maybe, I don't know, maybe some of these, I know Shayna's not one of them, but maybe some of them, because where's Naomi again? And what is her real name? Trinity, correct?
Yes.
Okay. She has 2 wrestler names. Naomi and Trinity are, like, 2 decent wrestling names. So I always get confused with that. But I know her husband's not the one that's hurt, right? It's Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Whose real name is John, right? No. John is Jesus Christ, man.
Don't ask me to remember this. What are you doing?
But, I mean, what are we doing? You got us on Total Divas, and you keep messing the names. Like, okay, whatever. Anyways, I like the Usos. I'm sorry. They were making fun of people not being able to tell them apart. And I went, listen, guys, I'm still fans, but I totally disagree with you. So, okay. But, no, because there's... The point of that was, there are a lot of women wrestlers who aren't around. And then some guys, of course, but I think with such a small female roster base that it's more noticeable when they're not around. Now, Ember Moon, that's sad. She may not come back.
Yes.
And that's terrible because I liked her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this snake, sometimes you just snake bitten.
Yeah. Well, they said, did she re-injure herself, or was it that bad that...
It was that bad.
Yeah,
and keep in mind, like, she's been injured a lot since she's been on the main roster. And especially, you got to realize, you get... Candice Michelle, same thing happened to her. She kept getting hurt. It's like,
yeah,
this shit ain't working. Like, you know, you keep getting hurt over and over again. You're a woman. You start hitting a certain age. And it's kind of like, where's your ceiling at?
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, Naomi is probably one of the most popular people they ever had. And even then, it's kind of like she only got so far.
Yeah.
And you probably won't get to where she is with all the people ahead of you. And you keep getting hurt, and there's people there that they can, unfortunately, replace you with. So what's the point?
Yeah, I know, like, they keep saying the locker room's much friendlier now, but I would think the fact that NXT, I know they're on TV now, but they're not getting paid
big-time
money like some of the main rosters can. So there's still that competition where some of the women have to be looking like, I'm ready to go, like.
But it's enough. I think it depends on the woman. Like, if it's enough time, depending on who you are, because, one, you have 2 titles and tag titles, and you have multiple storylines going around. Before, it's like, you know, you find a, like, SmackDown. If you're a woman on SmackDown back in the day, good luck.
Yes.
It was the whole thing. Like, you was like, it's a whole generation who never got to do anything. Cause like, what are we fighting for? Like the Tory Wilson generation is what I call. Cause like, they just fighting each other for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So now at least they're fighting for stuff. And I figured like this kind of like, you can't be this whole, you can't be an asshole and last long. Cause there's too many women that's not going to play that. Like the, you know, between the horsewomen and Natalya, that shit ain't gonna fly. Cause it's like kind of like, you know, Charlotte is Charlotte, Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
So even disregard and Bayley and Sasha Banks, which I won't, just those two there, it ain't gonna be like I'm just gonna be Bigfoot and everything like that and all that. So unless you Nia Jax is gonna be kind of like, yeah.
Who, where's she? Was she make an appearance this week? I don't think she did.
I mean, she just had her run. That's how it go. You have a run. Somebody else has one, because it's kind of like, it's funny where the three MVPs since this whole COVID started has been Bayley, Asuka, and Randy Orton. And nobody would have guessed, like, Asuka one is funny because they just let her be herself and she's just been wrestling everybody, cracking jokes and just having a good time and still hurting and still beating people up, being tough. Mm-hmm. Bayley's just been an obnoxious super heel. This Randy Orton shit, I know people make the joke like when Randy Orton tried, he's one of the best of all time. This year 18.
Yes.
And it's the best work he's done in a long ass time. Okay. And I don't get it.
No.
Like, I don't know his whole, because is he a baby face, a heel, or is he just him?
Okay, real quick. I'm not sure, but did you notice last night, this is real fast, with Asuka and Bayley. It looked like Asuka really smacked Bayley upside the head.
With that back fist?
Yes.
Yes.
And then did you notice the little tweak at, like, so Bayley rolls out, and then Asuka was going to give her, I think, what, the butt through the ropes or knee through the ropes? And she looked at Bayley real quick, gave her the head nod, and it took off. Like, you good? And then went. And I'm like, these are just little subtle things, and this has nothing to do with the fact they're women, but there's the professionalism. Like, they're that good that they can do that. And I'm like, God damn. And again, I love talking about women's wrestling because we never got to in the past other than, this isn't good. Or, hey, we should check out Shimmer, which is still around, by the way. So I don't know how they're doing it, but God bless them.
So, it's not the fact that we get to talk about, it's that they get, most of them did a lot of time did the highlight of the show. Yes. And it's not just the pretty women. It's kind of like, people was wondering, it wasn't too long ago where it's like, I don't know. Is Asuka gonna ever get a chance?
Yes.
And look at her now. And look at Io Shirai. She was about to quit.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm about to go back to Japan. It's not, I did not come over here to deal with this nonsense. And they just let her be her, and now that's working.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like they're letting the women who are, that can go, like, all right.
And that's what I wish they'd let Ruby Riott do as well. She's good. But unfortunately, she had two bad shoulders for the longest time. I'm wondering, it seems too obvious her and Liv get back together. But after Shotzi didn't win, and I'm going, of course, just the green hair connection, that maybe there's something there. That maybe that's what they're going with, but
the green hair connection.
Yeah, exactly. Well, God, I would hope not. But anyways, like that being the name. But getting back to Randy Orton, dude, I have no idea what's going on. He cheats and beats Edge in the greatest wrestling match ever, and he injures Edge, he punts Christian out of existence, he gets in a fight with Big Show, but then all these guys are acting up backstage and then acting up in the ring, and he's like the voice of reason. You know, I'm like, what? Like, what the hell's going on here? This doesn't make any sense.
And then protects R-Truth from Tozawa.
And doesn't, like, so R-Truth starts talking crap to Ric Flair, which of course is the usual R-Truth comedy. And then Randy's just looking at him like, what are you doing? And he runs off like, oh, that's just R-Truth. And then Tozawa comes in, and he actually does like a little mini bow, like shows him respect. Like, he ain't a real ninja. What are we doing?
And now he's going to probably have Legacy 2.0 with Andrade and Garza. And I'm... I don't know what happened. I don't know, like, Randy, I don't know if it's the Edge thing or it's like he got some pep in his step, but Randy Orton has been awesome.
Yes.
And it's not been the whole, and it's been weird where it's like, he's a complete character. Like, he's a heel, but it's understandable. Like, you know, I did what I had to do because you stepped in my wheelhouse. I ain't want to, but if you step to me, I ain't a coward. I'm going to do it. But I'd rather you go home with your family, man. But shit, if you don't, I can't force you. And it's like, he got a point because they're talking about I'm going to ruin your damn life when I come back. So who am I rooting for? And it's like sometimes he's an asshole, but sometimes he's not. It's not a one-note thing. It's not like, you know, Joel Osteen, Seth Rollins, where come to me, my son, I'm going to lead you to the right way, but if you don't, I'm going to pluck your eyes out, which is hilarious, but it's kind of like, you know, Seth Rollins is just being asshole Seth Rollins. Randy Orton is like, he could be a heel in one segment, a babyface in the very next segment, and it fits his character. And it's just weird because it's kind of like Randy Orton was coasting for a long-ass time, and now he's like, he feels motivated. He just feels energized. And who would have guessed you seeing stuff with Randy Orton in the Big Show in 2020? You'd be like, I like this.
Yes. I don't know where the idea came from or why. Like, Big Show wasn't even around, and he shows up to fight Drew McIntyre for no reason, really, after WrestleMania. And then he disappears for a while, and then comes back to this. Now, I know, like, you know, friends with Edge and Christian. All right, cool. But no one asked for it, but all right, it's not so bad. And then him trying to get the Viking Raiders to be serious again was kind of a nice nod, because, you know, that's one of the complaints about them now, is they're too goofy. All right, whatever. But they're two grown men, and one in real life actually does Viking, like, not lives a Viking lifestyle, but actually gets into Viking lifestyle stuff. Like, you're a grown man from stuff from, I don't even, when the hell were the Vikings around? 1500s? 1400s? I don't know. I actually asked Elise the other day, whatever happened to them? And they just got bored. They pillaged everything and just went and became regular people. Like, wait, what?
I think it's a little... Yeah, well...
Well, Wikipedia may be wrong, but that didn't make any sense to me.
I mean, people, let's just say, bastards become statesmen. That's how it goes. Like, they say what happened in history. But it's kind of like, you know, Big Show was doing his Netflix show. Yeah. And it was people wanted to even be alive, because it's kind of like, people his size tend not to make it as old as, to like, Big Show age. And Big Show seemed to be in nice health, enjoying life. And now he's wrestling? I'm like, Kane's a mare. Like, most of the people in Big Show age group retired a long time ago. Or they, like, recently retired. Because it's kind of like, he is Nitro era. Mm-hmm. Like, pre-Attitude, like, he's, like, right before the Attitude era started. Who's still around from that time? Like, Mark Henry being on Steve Austin's podcast kind of reinforced that, like, it ain't a whole bunch of people that's still, like, around that time. Like, Undertaker's basically kind of hung it up. Triple H kind of, like, I ain't retired, but I ain't really wrestling anymore. And everybody's either backstage, retired, or dead.
Would it be R-Truth? I'm being dead serious. Because he had that team up with Road Dogg.
Yeah, that's about it. And R-Truth was super young. And the fun thing is, R-Truth was super young when that started.
Yeah, I had no idea. Then,
yeah, and, like, that kind of started, like, and he was basically, like, tail in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So.
Because he was, what, K-Quick back then?
Yeah. Yeah. Pre-Attitude Era? Yeah, it's Big Show. That's it.
Because I'm still wrecking my brain.
Like, WWE-wise, is, I mean, AEW, if you add AEW, then it's him and Jericho. You take out, or, and you add Impact, then it's Rob Van Dam. Rey Mysterio. That's it.
Yeah, I guess he would be.
Yeah, that's it. And Rey was super young when he started, and Rey took all time to heal, did parts, because Rey was part-time for a long time, and now he's moving around. Maybe that's the thing. Take breaks and relax and let your body rest, and you get to survive.
I was going to ask, does Dominic count? Elise goes, is that really his kid? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, he's really tall. I was like, well, technically he's Eddie Guerrero's kid. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm still just doing this. I mean, it wasn't like Eddie Guerrero was 6'3 himself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Okay, well.
So, and I guess if you want to count Brock Lesnar, but that's more like he's more Randy Orton's group. But even then, you get the Randy Orton's like graduating class, and this Orton, Brock, Shelton Benjamin,
we're forgetting the Hardy brothers.
I always forget about Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Well, don't forget Matt. If we go to AEW, Matt as well. So, yeah.
That's true. I was just focusing on like WWE. Yeah, I forget about Jeff Hardy.
Same here.
Because, like, Jeff Hardy just seemed like he don't age. He just got, like, he just gained, like, 10 pounds.
Yeah. And he looks better. I mean, he's one of those guys, man. It's like, goddamn, I'm not digging the storyline just because it's all true. He keeps messing up. We forget. Or people have forgotten about him potentially being run up on trafficking charges back then and going to federal prison for that stuff.
The whole house burning down.
I remember the house stuff quite well.
I know you do, but it's kind of like that was a whole generation ago. Like, we did this storyline with CM Punk, and CM Punk would retire for how many years?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes.
That's how long ago that was. Like, this is this part two of the storyline, but like it's a whole generation that missed that first one where they had fireworks shooting at them and Jeff Hardy basically left and I remember CM Punk basically ran. I still laugh at how that whole thing ended because it's kind of like, oh, you're getting the goodbye thing like a hero. Like, nope, CM Punk is to jump you one more time on the way out the door. Yeah. And now you back. CM Punk's talking on Fox Sports Net and Sheamus, I remember when people were talking about Sheamus wasn't going to wrestle anymore because of injury. And then, you know, and he's back out here calling him I still left there. I'm going to kick you off the wagon. That is such an asshole line that just had me laughing because it is kind of like, it's so tasteless. And I watched Dark Side of Ring because they did this with Hawk. When he's really doing it, and it was tasteless then. They did it with Scott Hall. I'm like, they did it with Jake Roberts. But at least Jake was like, oh, he's in between rehab, so we're going to do this whole born again thing. And I'm like, I thought we were past this in 2020. Oh, well, I guess not.
No. No. Well, it's also some of the same people are still in charge. I mean, Bruce Pritchard, SmackDown was, well, it is still his show, I guess. But that's where that all started, so...
I will say this. We've been fortunate enough where we haven't had that with women. The storyline, anyway. That may come one day.
Yeah.
It hasn't come yet, but it's kind of like...
I don't know.
Women wrestlers that's around now haven't had those type of issues.
No.
I mean, it was some back in the day. Like, I know Melina was... seemed like she came to ring drunk once or twice.
The biggest one, obviously, is China. And that's what I was going to say, is most of the time they don't end well.
Yeah, China or Tammy Sitch.
Yeah, I mean, none of those stories have ended well. No, she's in and out of jail all the time. So that's the unfortunate part, is they don't end well. And with such a small, you know, group to choose from, you know, it's pretty glaring. I mean, I know, like, the men have always had their problems, and the death rate for the men, except for Sherry Martel, but wasn't she, hers was alcohol and what, somas or whatever? Another one, and it's like, eh. Hell, even Miss Elizabeth, to this day, I keep forgetting she's not around. Like, that's...
Yeah, we had a run where everybody was dropping off, and then it kind of, like, we talked about before, now it's just, you know, age. As it should be.
Yeah, that's fine.
yeah, but it's just funny how, like, I wouldn't expect to be seeing Randy Orton in a prominent role.
Yeah.
I would expect to see MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And Lashley, like, one, they finally letting Lashley, like, be the TNA version. You get to talk and MVP talks with you.
That's
and y'all just be a thing. And, like, it just works. And I'm just, it's simple. Do it works. And there you go. You get to do it.
Yeah.
But if somebody would have told you, like, this time last year, you're going to see factions like Randy Orton with Andrade. You've seen MVP and Lashley trying to bully U.S. champion Apollo Crews. You see Rey Mysterio and his son teaming up with Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo against Seth Rollins. Murphy, and Austin Theory.
Yeah, where's he been, by the way?
I don't even know. And Drew McIntyre's the champion.
With a special appearance by Heath Slater. Or Heath Slater. Miller, excuse me. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I do.
And the women know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Becky Lynch and Charlotte nowhere to be seen for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte's having had surgery or is having surgery, and then Becky's, well, she's going to have one. So, for her sake, I hope she does. Let's put it that way. But, yeah, it's a weird time, man. And when wrestling comes back to having crowds, I'll be curious to see what's getting dumped on and what's not. You know? So, that's going to be the biggest thing for me is, okay, well, here's everything that's been going on. Let's see what happens when it's out in front of everybody.
The dynamic is going to be real weird.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like some of, because it's, I don't know, because it's a lot of heels that are like semi-likable.
Oh, yes.
Or like the fans. You just like, I can't, like, it's a big fan base that's like Bayley and Sasha Banks. But it helps because they're feuding with Asuka, which a lot of fans really like her and always thought she got the short end of the stick. So stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's the big thing. Especially like, because Asuka never really turned face. If you think about it, she never did anything to like be a good guy. She's just awesome. And that's what happened. Like Kyrie Sane, she never really did anything to be a bad guy anyways. But I guess because she was with bad guy Asuka, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
So then now, okay, that none of that's going on. So, yeah, it'll be curious to see, and well, who knows when that's going to be. But, you know, so we're about halfway through. So I did end up watching to go from wrestling to movies with a wrestling connection. I did watch Stuber. I enjoyed it. I will say I'm glad I didn't go to the theater to see it.
Yes, same.
I don't know. It was what I thought it was going to be, but I thought the biggest surprise in this is how good of an actor Batista's become. He's really good in this.
Yes. He said his goal was to become a character actor, and everyone laughed when he said that. And he was seen to be very serious about that, because it's kind of like that's what he does. It's like he doesn't try to be a movie star. He tries to be an actor. That just happens to be in movies, and you just get thrown off because, like, how big he is and the fact that he was, like, a larger-life wrestler, and this is kind of like, then the man puts his mind to stuff, he tends to accomplish it.
Yes. That's been the story of his life, really. I mean, I'm going to go do this. Whatever, bro. and he does it.
But he doesn't beat people over the head with it.
Yeah.
He just does it, and it just, like, works, and Hollywood still doesn't know how to use ego-wise the right way. Like, because he's the villain in this, and...
I was going to get to that, because...
And that's a recurring problem, because Mile 22 did the exact same thing. And it's kind of like, if he's not in charge, he's not working, people know how to use him, then he's just being wasted.
Yeah, man.
And this that movie, seems to happen it, a
he's
lot.
He's just running around with a gun. And I'm like, what? And I get it. I mean, he's done it in other movies, but I'm like, why? Like, shouldn't... Wait, what? I expected something more out of him. When I saw him in the beginning, I was like, oh, I didn't know he was a bad guy. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, who was the... Spoilers. Who's the crooked cop? Was that Mia Sorvino? No.
No, that is...
Naomi Watts.
No, that is... I know who that is. And she is famous. She's, Oh, it is Mia Sorvino.
Okay. I cannot tell you the last time I saw her in something, and I didn't really recognize her. I was totally shocked. I'm like, oh, because she, when they first showed her, she looked familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who is that? And then when it dawned on me who it was, I'm like, I do not remember seeing her in the longest time. I've not seen her.
You know what happened with women, like, they get a shelf like in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, especially, wasn't she one of the Harvey Weinstein women?
She's one of the first ones.
So,
and she had a career, and then poof.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of stuff makes sense now. We hear about, oh, what happened to women such and such? They just vanished for a decade. And you're like, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
It's a whole generation of women that's like that. And like, it's hard enough to do that, to get past that, regardless of like nonsense like that happening. So imagine having that. Now, I thought the same thing as you, kind of like, you know, good chemistry between him and Kumail.
Yeah.
Like the storyline is just, it is what it is. They wasted Eco Wise. I'm glad I didn't go to the movie theater to see it. I'm glad I watched it though. Like, I didn't feel disappointed with him. I'm like, yeah. Batista, he makes smart decisions.
Yeah.
And he seems to be kind of like, I know what type of career I want to have. I want to work around talented people, whether it's actors or directors, and like do different things to keep working. And it's working. It's just weird because it's a wrestler. You normally have wrestling actors that be like, oh, I want to be a character actor. When they say that, you kind of laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
Normally. Because it's either like you're going to be a movie star or you're going to be nothing. Edge kind of does that with TV. The whole thing is like, I don't want to be the star. I want to show up and do my thing. Because he was on Haven, and then he popped up on Vikings, and it's kind of like, yeah, he had a nice TV career. Just kind of like, you know I look a certain way. I know I have a personality that's likable when I won't be likable. I know I can be an asshole. So I know my lane, and I kind of play it. I'm not trying to force the thing. And Batista's like, I just want to act.
And yeah, and that's what I like. I liked the parts with him acting. Like him being a big guy doing that stuff, that was fine. The blind part got a little old after a while. I don't know anything about LASIK, but okay. And it did the same thing. It seemed like an 80s action, like an 80s action comedy to me. But then where some of it had weight and some of it didn't, like when he started crying at the end,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that part. And then, of course, you know, he's got to play the tough guy and blow it off. But I thought that was really, like, that was actually, powerful is too strong of a word. But that actually, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess there would be that, like, there would be that release of emotion. You finally brought your partner's killer to justice or whatever. So I kind of liked that part. And then, you know, him dating a daughter and all that shit, but whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. He's having the career that they didn't let The Rock have.
Yeah,
that The Rock tried to do that. And they're like, no, this is not gonna be a thing. And it shouldn't be, because like The Rock is like, you The Rock. Be The Rock. Stop trying to be skinny. You never gonna, even if you're skinny, you're still bigger than everybody else. You're just gonna be Vince Vaughn instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger. What are you trying to do? Like, you can't, like, seeing The Rock try to be a regular man trying to blend in never. I'm like, come on now. You The Rock, and you acting with people that's like 5'8". So even if you slim down to 220 pounds, you still towering over everybody you in. So you're gonna be, I'm a regular family man trying to make it through. Like, come on now. Embrace your strengths. So he kicked, like they say, kicked out his old management, new management, like, you know what, be the best version of you, and it worked. So they let him do that, so now he is who he is. Batista's kind of like, you didn't have that whole stigma, because he didn't start off big. It's kind of like, I got a bit role here. He was able to work his way up.
Yeah, he did those crappy I don't know if they're direct-to-DVD or not, but direct-to-somewhere movies.
Yeah, like he did, that he's the main villain, man, you know, Man in the Iron Fist, that RZA movie.
Yeah, like, yeah.
RZA gave me a chance. And
one of the strangest movies I've ever seen.
Not just because it's strange, like one.
The casting.
Like the right, I'm like, that's what happened to be friends. You get to have Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu show up in your movie.
Yeah.
And I'll pay a lot of money. And I'm still laughing, like, how the hell he get all these, because they have a lot of people in that movie. I'm like, that budget was like, what, $10 million?
And that was a Miramax movie, right?
Yes, because so. It's a lot. One thing I learned, a lot of people like Wu-Tang, and a lot of people that tend to be like that whole artsy crowd tend to like this. Like I said, it's good to have friends, because friends hook you up.
Yeah.
But no, he was able to do that, and he was in Riddick, and then Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about him being in, was it
Riddick, the third one.
Okay, so yeah. The one I never watched was the second one.
they've been showing that on TV lately.
Oh boy, is that what you were watching the other night? Yes. I think you posted a picture. You're watching one of the Riddick movies.
Yes, that was the second one, and I just laughed because it's kind of like Vin Diesel. Just like, you know what? Let's take this little small space horror movie and turn it into Star Wars. Because that's basically what he tried to do. I'm like, nobody asked for this except for you, and he tried. And I'll say this: it's not a boring movie. It is kind of like, I don't think anyone asked for this but you, and it's like, it's not as interesting as you think it is, and it's a lot of people like, no one halves it. I just say that. No. But it's kind of like one of those things like, yeah, you kind of expanded too much, like, I watch it whenever it comes on. It's not good, but it's not boring. It's just kind of like too much.
I'll have to give it a try if it, when I see that it's on.
I mean, Carl Urban with a goofy ass ponytail, Fanny Newton just vamping it up. It's just Judi Dench spewing a whole bunch of nonsense and just laughing like, oh yeah, while he was on set, he taught her how to play Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm just laughing at that. Yeah, I forgot. Yes, Vin Diesel is a super nerd. And yes, so I'm just so, but no, it's yeah. So Batista's made a, you know, it's funny, him, John Cena just doing the whole movie route thing. John Cena's becoming a movie star. John Batista becoming a character actor, and Randy Orton's becoming the best thing on Raw.
Yeah, ruthless aggression, and Brock Lesnar just shows up when he wants. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm sorry, I gotta stop saying that. Brock Lesnar shows up when he's told to.
When he wants.
Yes. Well, he has, we talked about this, he has his dates. He's like, all right, you pay me more to do more. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I saw something about how Brock Lesnar's lazy. And I'm like, man, if they told me to show up to work 26 days out of the year, you think I'm showing up 27?
Yeah. Why? All I have to do is tell people, watch his matches with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Watch all that shit he was doing with Big Show and Undertaker. That man is not lazy.
No.
Like, when he needs to do something, he goes all in. Because I remember some of them bumps he take, they're thinking, like, probably might break his neck. Like, what are you doing? Are you insane? You rich and old. Why are you doing these table bumps? Yeah. Like, you're 25 years old. Like, when he wants to do something, he goes all the way out. He's like, huh, guys, I ain't doing it. Like, but what?
Yeah.
Work smart. Not hard.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching the 365 on Ricochet, and they had that. They played the entirety of that match with him and Brock, which a lot of people have forgotten already, which is probably good. And it was just funny watching it. Like, that, everyone talks about how Brock will work with, like, smaller guys, and I'm sure he was like, yeah, I'll work with him, but okay, and basically that match went the way it should have. As much as we don't like it, but I mean, who was Ricochet at the time? Now I'd be curious if now, like later, once he becomes somebody again, how that works out. But
don't forget, yeah. Or they can always just rehype it.
Yes.
But it was just kind of weird, where it's like that happened, and I'm like, yeah. It wasn't like it was a surprise, because it's like you kind of knew that was going to happen, because it's just kind of like I'm trying to kill time before Mania anyway. It just happened to be Ricochet. And it's like, Kofi Kingston got the same treatment. He was the champ that was over. So why we thought it was going to be different with Ricochet? So, no, I didn't see that. I saw the Mark Henry thing with Steve Austin.
It was good. And
yeah, it's just kind of weird because it's snake bit career. But long career. Made a lot of money. Retired. Got his health for the most part. Was kind of like, should have been a lot better.
You know what I was disappointed in, though, was they didn't talk about the salmon jacket. They didn't talk about the retirement promo.
I mean,
and I was like, I would have liked to have heard, like, Austin's thoughts on that, actually. Just because, you know, it's Austin. And
that's one of the best acting they've ever done.
Yeah.
Just from an acting standpoint. Because I remember we was all watching. It was like, we was kind of thinking, oh, this is a gimmick, but he kind of fooled us, because, like, one, it's his jacket. It's so believable. I'm just a good old boy from Silsbee, Texas. I just made it home. You know, I had a good career. Not as good as yours. Like, he was dropping little hints here and there, but it's kind of like, oh, you know, wow, this kind of like out of nowhere, like this low key thing. He grabbed him in the world's strongest line. I still got plenty in the tank. And people got mad because they're like, he should have beat Cena at the pay per view.
Yes, he should have. I'll never accept that him losing was okay. It wasn't. But
that's one of it's funny, one of the last couple of times I got mad was when he didn't beat Cena and when Brock lost when he came back, that first match.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't care what anybody say, oh, well, Brock don't. I'm like, it makes no sense for John Cena to win that. Like, it never made any sense at all. Like, what was the justification? Yep. Well, Brock don't need it. Then don't have him wrestle.
Yeah, then keep him apart. Make us want to see it.
Made that man, yeah, he came back day after Mania. Brock Lesnar finally back in WWE. They had the pull apart now. They all bleed and set up. He dominates him during the match and he slips on a banana peel, loses. Then John Cena gets a speech like, oh, I'm going to be gone for a while. Like, whatever. Like it's one of the last two times I got mad at like wrestling matchups. Both involved Brock Lesnar. When he lost to John Cena, and then that nonsense with Kofi Kingston. Like, I didn't mind him beating, but like 3 seconds, I'm like, by the time I was ready to watch it, it was over. Just to set up some of Kane Velasquez that didn't do squat. That was the thing about that. Like, it was just a waste of time all around.
And not even in the company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was gonna say something. I'm like, just don't. So, anyways, so we were talking about Stuber, and I got to that. But then, one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I was surprised at your answer. So, the last time you saw Basic Instinct was last week, which is funny because we were watching it Saturday or Sunday. Oh yeah, we were watching it Sunday after Uncut Gems. So, one. How did you remember that movie? Like, I haven't seen it in a long time until we watched it Sunday. How did you remember that movie?
It's weird because I remember it, but not the way I thought. Like, I didn't realize how much of an asshole Michael Douglas was.
Yes.
Which is funny because it's like, that was his thing for the longest. Like, I'm an asshole you root for because, like, you can see yourself in his shoes if you make one bad move or just say the right thing to the wrong woman. Like, that was his wheelhouse. Like, I'm the aggrieved white man, but you root for him anyway because it's kind of like you should. Mm-hmm. But he was a dickhead, even by Michael Douglas standards.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to look up. So I looked up, like, Sharon Stone movies, but then I was curious where this fell in the Paul Verhoeven.
This is right, it's post Total Recall and right. RoboCop. And before Showgirls and Hollow Man.
Yeah, so this is kind of like Showgirls right after this, wasn't it? Yes.
Probably. It was like Showgirls and then Starship Troopers and then Hollow Man. Yeah.
And then some other stuff.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I learned about this, like, this is probably his most straightforward movie. But one thing people don't realize about Paul Verhoeven is kind of like, he's telling one story while showing another one.
Yes.
And people always miss it. They all, like, every movie he's done, and even kind of this one, kind of like, yeah, Sharon Stone, a force of nature. Like, she just over there, and like, I can see, it's funny, you hear people talk about, like, they didn't know what to do with her, because kind of like, she's like too much for him. And the whole thing is kind of like, what's Michael Douglas way out of his league, like, why he even chasing this woman that's going to probably either kill him or kick him to the curb after a week? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And everybody tell him, like, don't, what you doing, Haas? Like, you saw how she operated. And you're like, nah, I'm all right. I got this.
Yeah. I remember the movie being way more suspenseful, and it wasn't. And maybe it's just because, you know, like, how it plays out by now. But then the one thing we all remember from the movie is the big interrogation scene, right?
I forgot how graphic it was.
I'm going to say the exact opposite. I remember that being far more graphic than what I saw on the TV. And even Elise goes, she hadn't seen it. She goes, that's it? And I'm like, yeah, but you got to remember, this is 90...
But not even that. It's a mainstream movie. When have you seen it since?
Right. No. Yeah, right.
So I know it's kind of like, oh, this is the big deal. Like, I thought it was going to be something like that. And I'm like, it's easy to say that. So you remember, you hadn't really seen that before, and you haven't seen it since.
Yeah, and that's the last thing I want to bring up, too.
Because it's not like, you know, 2014, Jennifer Lawrence is doing something like that.
Right. Well, we forget that Sharon Stone wasn't a household name at all back then.
Mm-mm.
Like, she had been in other stuff. And I had thought that... Like, I was trying to find something that maybe we would have seen, and she made Total Recall in 1990. That movie didn't come out until, 1990. All right, so she was the wife in Total Recall, and then she was in Basic Instinct, same director, too. So
she got that. She got Basic Instinct because of Total Recall.
Yeah, and she did a bunch of nothing in between, like, Sprite commercial, a diet Sprite commercial.
They didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah.
Like, she's a strong, smart ass, beautiful woman that's in shape. And it's kind of like 90? They ain't like, you know, but like, people don't know how to handle the type of women now. So, like, oh, she's a smart bitch. Yeah. Basically, how they're probably looking at her. And it's kind of like, I remember she was in Action Jackson. But
yes.
Saw Action Jackson. It's kind of like, first time I remember hearing anything that I saw was Total Recall. And the next thing was Basic Instinct. Then a bunch of, like, you know, that movie with Sylvester Stallone, The Specialist, where they got no chemistry whatsoever, except for that weird-ass sex in the shower. The Quick and the Dead, they had an awesome cast that was kind of like, all right. It had a better reputation than the actual movie. When it's just amazing, like a movie right. with her, Gene Hackman, Keith David, and Leonardo DiCaprio be kind of and Russell Crowe be kind of boring. Like, how the hell y'all put, with Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
I mean, how y'all pull that off? And then... Casino.
Yeah, well, she was... All right, so here's the thing. She was in a bunch of stuff in between that, though. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, she wasn't. I got ahead of myself. She was on Roseanne as a quick, it says Trailer Park Resident. I actually remember that because they hyped the hell out of that way back. And then, yes, Casino. And then after Casino, which she was nominated or won an Academy Award for that?
She's nominated for...
Okay. After that... Dude, it's like,
Basic Instinct 2 happened.
Well, but
Catwoman.
I'm trying to find that's Basic Instinct 2. Where is that? Where the hell is Basic Instinct 2 on here? But in between all that, like, Catwoman was 2004. Where the hell is... Basic Instinct 2 was 2006.
Yeah.
So it's like, she did a lot of stuff in between. But nothing, and that wasn't that like the curse of the Best Supporting Actor or Actress Award? It just ruins you?
No, it's the curse of being a woman. Because
well, even Best Supporting Actors,
but like, just think about
the same fate.
The only woman that's bro had a long successful career is the one you can't stand, Meryl Streep. Every other woman, once they stop being the pretty girl, and even when they're the pretty girl, running. Halle Berry had the same problem.
Yeah.
Like, if you wasn't Julia Roberts, you had a 3-year run, and then after that, if you wasn't still hot, you vanished. So look at Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
And look what post Kill Bill 2. How many movies have you seen her in? What, Percy Jackson?
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Like, I can name two or three. Like, she might have thought her and what's her name? Daryl Hannah. Fell off the face of the earth. And it's like a lot of that stuff was kind of like that mirror match. But a lot of times, like, if you're a woman, you ain't the top, you get pigeonholed, you hit a certain age, and it still happened. Look at Olivia Wilde. She got direct movies now because, like, oh, you too old. She was too old to be Leonardo DiCaprio, like, to be Margot Robbie's role in The Wolf of Wall Street.
I don't remember who the hell that was, so...
Okay. Exactly, because yeah. She had her run. She was in Tron Legacy. She was in Cowboy and Aliens. Like, she was the hot thing, and then oof, age out.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, we got a new model. That's how they treat women. Like, you know, same. Like, basically, you have a role, and you maximize that. And if you're lucky, you get to be Jennifer Lawrence or Scarlett Johansson. If you're not, you get 2 or 3 years, and then you get put to the sideline.
It's funny, also. A lot of that's the Weinstein effect, too, which I think a lot... I mean, I know not historically, but recent memory, a lot of that is his stuff. Because even Jennifer Lawrence, I mean, okay, she made, what, Sparrow? And then the X-Men movie, but then what else has she been in since?
I mean, she, it just all kind of blends in. Yeah. She does Joy, she does, like, but it's kind of like she does stuff, get nominated, and she can do movies. Like, I saw Passengers, that's a, I don't know, we probably talked about that on the show.
I don't remember that, that one.
That's a goddamn horror story. They try to make it like it's a love story. That shit's insane. With her and Chris Pratt, like,
no, see no, that. I've never seen that. Okay.
You never, oh. See that if you get a
oh,
chance.
Oh, that's a space one, right?
Yes.
No.
I wake up by accident.
He wakes
and
her up
I'm
on purpose.
Bored. So I wake her up on purpose and lie about it. And she basically like, you sent me to die because she was lonely and horny? And they try to make out like, cause I'm like, that man basically murdered her because he was bored. Like, that's a stalker movie. Yeah. And they try to make it like as a love, like stuff like that. Oh, Mother.
Yes. But, yeah.
I saw that movie. I was like, this shit batshit crazy. But
I don't know if to this day, I don't know if I like that movie or not.
It was trying to tell something.
It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be. I actually had to look this up because it went over my head.
A biblical allegory,
exactly.
Yes.
And I'm like, all I remember is there's nothing but terror in this movie, and then they rip a baby apart, and then she dies, and then he's got a new girl. I'm going. What? And yes. It ended, and I looked at Elise like, I don't know if what we just watch. Like,
okay. I get what they were doing. I just know I'm like, people be making up. That's why having don't have real problems. You make them up. I've always said that. And I'm like, that's why I like certain horror movies, like Hereditary and Midsommar. I'm like, I didn't like either one. I'm like, this is this white man shit. That's all. I know it's supposed to be telling a story, but I'm watching this and I'm just sitting here to the roll of my eyes. Like, so this is what happened when you just rich and bored. You just, my girlfriend broke up with me. So I'm using the allegory to go to Sweden where the sun don't drop.
No, that's drinking.
Summer.
Yeah. Okay. Same director. So.
Same director, same stuff.
Same writer.
But, like, back, Sharon Stone run the same problem that nearly most women run into, and it's kind of like they don't let women age gracefully in movies, and she already had like a personality that most men didn't know how to deal with or direct, because like she's too smart to be the damsel in distress, but she's not going to be an action star like Charlize Theron, even though she was could have done that if she wanted to. That wasn't her wheelhouse. And she's not going to do the whole goofy love interest like Julia Roberts. So what do you do with a woman like that?
Yeah, she's worked steadily, just nothing we've seen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, like she did TV stuff, and every time she pop up on stuff, it's kind of like she always had this vibe, like, I'm out of your league. I'm too beautiful for you. I'm way smarter than you. You don't know what to do with me. I'm just going here wasting my time.
Yeah, she's 60. Oh. She's 62 years old. Holy shit! Good for her. That's a good. But yeah, no, all right, so but the one thing, besides, like, the infamous interrogation scene, I knew that there was, like, it was a highly sexualized movie.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how, it was, like, every 15 minutes there was a sex scene of some sort.
That one where him and Gene Triple Horn.
Which apparently got him in some trouble. And then,
I mean, it's basically like a damn rape scene, more or less.
Yeah.
Like,
and then she's like, where were you? Or, like, what was that about? And then he says all that nasty shit to her when he's drunk, and she's like, I'm a big girl, I can take it. And I was like, what? Okay. You didn't see that out of women then. Like, that kind of, like, to me, like, her saying, I'm a big girl, don't worry about it. And then, like, Sharon Stone, and eventually, like, I guess she, in interviews after, did say that she kills him with the ice pick at the end. And it's like, okay. But I was surprised, and I know, like, the unedited version, like, the sex scenes with him, like, between Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone were much more graphic. And I'm watching this going, for a mainstream movie, like, he's going down on her? You didn't see that. Mm-hmm. And then the overhead, like, the one they cut out was the overhead shot of her going down on him, because her head's actually bobbing up and down. And then there was, there's some other parts where I guess his junk is out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
I mean, Barbara Hope, and he's an artiste. He's like, if we're going to do it, we got to do it from every angle just because we don't miss nothing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you saw RoboCop.
Well, that's where I was going with this is you've got RoboCop was like over the top violent, but it also had a point. And then you had Total Recall, which was just a violent sci-fi movie.
That also had a point.
Yeah.
Because even then, it's kind of like, you're still not sure if it really happened or not. Like, all the stuff post-Recall is like, is it really stuff or just this is fantasy? And they kind of leave it open-ended where you can convince me either way.
Yes. And then, what was after Starship Troopers, which was also had a point in it. And highly violent.
You rooting for the Nazis.
Yes.
That's the whole point. And we talked about it. I didn't realize that, so I watched it like a decade later. I'm like, they really had us rooting for the bad guys. And it was real up. He was real upfront. But I think it was so upfront, they just treated it like, nah, it had to be an accident. I'm like, nope. Like, he didn't realize what you were watching. I'm like, he didn't do it by accident. He cast the people the way he cast, and that story, like, kind of beat you over the head. Real, you ain't a real citizen. You can't vote unless you fight. Yeah. Fucking coward. Having Doogie Howser there just like he in the Glorious Bastards was not an accident, because you see Doogie Howser, oh, that's adorable Neil Patrick Harris. He don't look adorable in that uniform.
Yeah, but that was kind of like the end of his run, though. Like, he had nothing else to say. And then he made Showgirls.
I mean, like, no, Showgirls came before Starship Troopers.
I'm sorry, yes.
And people missed the whole point of that, which is kind of like, yeah, that's a goof. That's a tough watch, too, because there's some tough scenes in there. Like, one, act like Elizabeth Berkley is, like, too bad her career went the way it went because of that movie. And some of those, like, that sex scene in the pool is just it's just ridiculous. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? But that rape scene that just go on and on, I'm like, this shit is like, this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
And there's a point, it's kind of like people got caught the whole, it's an X-rated movie that's not really even that graphic. It's the funny thing about, like, Basic Instinct probably is probably more sexually explicit than Showgirls.
Right.
So it's funny that Showgirls got the whole, it's X-rated, NC-17, and then while I'm sitting up watching, I'm like, what's NC-17 about it?
That's, I haven't seen Showgirls since it first came out. Like, we worked at the theater, so we got to go see it for free, which was fine. And then it was just kind of, one, it was like, all right, let's see what all this hype's about. And then two, just to go see it. And it was like, we walked out going, oh my God, we just wasted our time. Because the acting's just off the charts bad. And the story makes little sense. But yeah, it was supposed to be for all the sex. You get to see Jesse Spano naked. Okay, cool. And then you watch it going, heh?
Yeah, Jesse looked good. So did Gina Gershon, but that's about it. Like, that seemed...
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like it was overhyped.
Oh, it definitely was.
I know time went up. Speaking of old movie, you know, I finally watched from beginning to end, 48 hours.
One, by today's standards, holy shit. But watching that movie, that's a funny movie, and it is a harsh movie. That's why I know you do.
No fucking kidding. Because we did it, me and Jeff was doing it for Patreon, somebody picked it. And I always saw another 48 hours. I never saw the original from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Boy, Nick Nolte.
Yep.
Good God. That man was on 11.
Yes. And hey, man, sorry about all that stuff. And I was like, that's not how that works.
I just had to stay on you. That's okay. Call you a watermelon, chicken jokes and all that. Let me tell you some N-word. I bite dirty and all that. I'm like, buddy cop?
Yep.
They ain't buddies till the very end. I'm like, barely is like, oh, I hold your money for you. I ain't that type of person, anything like that. Like, they not friendly till like the end, like the very end of the movie. And I was like, ooh, this was harsh. It's like Nick knows me well. Like, he's awesome in the movie, and you could tell like Eddie Murphy was gonna be a star just by watching that, because Eddie Murphy's charisma just jump off the screen. But that shit is I was not expecting. I know it's the 80s. But it's still the 80s. It ain't the 1880s. And I wasn't I was not expecting that. I'm like, maybe because I hadn't seen it, and because another 48 hours came out in 90, I'm like, how bad? I mean, it's the 80s. I remember Lethal Weapon. I remember Beverly Hills Cop. I'm like, how bad can it be? Because it ain't the 70s. It ain't like the French Connection.
Right.
Which is also kind of like that. And then I watched it. I'm like, ooh, this is some rough shit.
Okay, so you mentioned the French Connection. And I wanted to, one of these shows, we had to get together off air about this. Mm-hmm. We need to compile a list of famous or popular movies that we've never seen. And that, like, just you and I have seen 48 Hours is surprising. But then, that'd be under popular. But, like, famous movies, I've never seen The French Connection. Never seen
it. Oh, you'll like it. So, I know the type of movies you like.
Yeah. Oh, no. I remember a long time ago mentioning 48 Hours. Like, just seeing it. I'm like, this is a dirty movie.
Okay. Like, so, imagine 48 Hours, but switch out Nick Nolte for Gene Hackman.
Oh, boy.
And it get worse. Because it's the it's not the 80s, it's the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gene, like I say, Gene, and it ain't no Eddie Murphy to bounce off either. But it's, so he get to be racist all he want without people calling him out on it. So, no, it's like a lot of stuff like that. The Shining, never seen.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we got to do this then. So it'll be...
A lot of famous movies where it's kind of like I hadn't seen, and I found it's kind of like, you know, just get around to watching it, and it's just kind of like, oh, it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I remember. Some stuff holds up. Some stuff don't. And it's like, part of it is like, you know, Sound of the Times. And part of it is kind of like, I didn't remember Beverly Hills Cop being so boring till I watched it last week.
Yes, it takes a long time to get going. Yeah.
And it's basically like, it's Eddie Murphy. Like, the movie only works because Eddie Murphy in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy. And not only that, Eddie Murphy lets other people shine. That's why it's kind of like, he lets other people like, oh, you go ahead and get your shit in. I already know I'm a star. I'm the hog all the time. And that thing with him and Mike is kind of like, they more than just, I'm just buddies. And I've always kind of, like, I didn't pick up on it when I first saw it, but I picked up on it when I watched it, like, because I had watched it, like, 10, 15. I'm like, they real close. They, like, real, but, like, if it came out now, or if it came out, like, in the 90s and 2000s, people would be assuming, like, they used to date, or they was gay. Because that's how they, it's kind of played that way. And not the whole men can't be friends. It's kind of like, he breaking his house, and it's cool. They all hugging each other, and it's like, I go all the way to Beverly Hills to avenge my, that's my best friend, anything like that. And why didn't you get me in jail? Because I love you, and you my man, and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, now you get, if somebody kill your dog, or your girl, or your mom, or like a family member. Not your male friend.
Yep.
You don't have that type of, like, you don't.
Very, very rare, if at all. Oh, speaking of, since you mentioned gay, have you seen The Birdcage?
No.
Okay. I saw that, like, opening night when it came out, and it was funny back then. One, it's still funny. Two, the over-the-top use of the word fag caught me by surprise. And that's one of those things where you go, well, wow, times have changed. Because it's basically Le Cage aux Folles, I think is how you say it, the French. And it's an American remake. And they are throwing, like, the gay people in the movie are throwing that word around like crazy. And I'm like, wow, I don't remember any of this. That movie's still funny. That movie is still very funny.
You know, the movie kind of throw that around a little bit. You forget about Lethal Weapon 1.
Yes.
Because whenever it come up, he was like, oh, get off, I ain't want to type, I ain't go. And it's kind of like, yeah, I thought about that because Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we can wrap up talking about that. We didn't talk about that when that happened. And, all right. Oven dodger?
Yes.
I have never heard that term in my life.
I will say that was a first for me, yes.
Ever. And hearing Winona Ryder, like, one, I didn't even know she was Jewish, because I never even thought about it. And then she's like, oh, yeah, we was at a party. He bust that out, like, oh, you know, oven dodger. I'm like, how much, what goes to your mind to say something like that? At a, like, you just at a cocktail party throwing drinks, and it's like, you know, that's something you expect somebody Clint Eastwood's age, like, oh, that's my racist grandfather. He's in World War I. He don't know any better. Mel Gibson is old, but he ain't that old. And he wasn't that old when he was saying that. And it's kind of like, yeah.
But also, it's like, if you're... if like you don't know any better, okay, well, let me make sure I can say this right. Like, if you don't know any better, you're not coming up with creative words to call people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not coming up with like something silly. Like, you know what I mean by silly.
Yeah.
You're not going to say someone's an oven dodger. You're just going to call them a Jew or whatever, you know? That's what you're going to do. You don't come up with these silly things. Like, I guess.
You know, I made a comment about how racists tend to be, they use the same old ones. I guess Mel Gibson bust out some new ones. I've never heard that one. That's just so damn crude.
But you know,
that's like I would expect something like that from like a villain in a Quentin Tarantino movie. I wouldn't expect like a regular person to bust that out in conversation just to say that.
Yeah.
And we got a new like Mel Gibson. It's funny, like, you know Mel Gibson, like, he said a lot of horrible stuff, but you just don't. It's kind of like you tend to forget about it till you remind. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, well, like, you tend to look the other way.
Yeah, so. He make it hard. Like, I know, and the funny thing is, Putamao, and in fact, I'm like, it did affect his career, but he came back. And it's just kind of like, ugh. Like, just leave a dirty, like, I'm not the most sensitive person. You definitely not. But, and we
I don't like the
like,
way you said it, but yeah,
I mean, but it's
kind of right,
like, you know, like
right,
it's
yeah.
like, how dare you say stuff like this? Yeah. Kind of like, yeah. Even if it's not, you know, it's like, we both know right from wrong. We ain't going to be like, oh, how dare they? Because it's not, it's kind of like, you know something wrong, but you don't have to beat yourself over the head with it. We're kind of that type of people. But that's just like, I heard that. I'm just like, really? Like, it's not even directed at me, but I just felt kind of like, why? Like, just, like, yuck.
Mm-hmm. And it also goes to the whole part where it's like, wow, that's a lot of hate for just nothing.
And for why?
And that's, okay, so where does, all right, so where does, like, that hate become, I don't want to say positive, but to the point where you're making up, like, quips and that, like, where your hate becomes creative somehow. You know what I mean? Like, how, all right. Like, in this case, I don't know a whole lot for Jews. Like, I used to be very up on my, like, bigoted language vernacular. I always wanted to make sure I knew what was going on, right? But then it just became so overwhelming. There's so many things that I didn't know. But then, like, how many slang or bigoted words for black people are there?
I mean, it's a lot, but countless. People tend to use the same few.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any updated ones. Like,
right.
The most updated recent one, like, is they use thug, but it's kind of like, most of the time they've been using the same ones since they've been using this, like, the longest time.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, the same three or four. And sometimes the old school busts out the octoroons and quack, like, they bust out the old slave ones. Like, yes.
Octoroons. That sounds like a supervillain. That doesn't sound
or like a cookie. Or like a cookie,
yes.
It's like some based on like percentage wise, like it's yeah. Like I laughed when Eggplant made a comeback in the '90s.
What? Okay.
Because that's the like it came because Italians like using that one, and it came up in Spike Lee movies, and then they was saying that to Will Smith and Enemy of the State, and I remember that, and I'm like, oh, I hadn't heard that in a long.
Is there
that
a
made
database? For all this, I would actually love to know that.
I would, yeah, there is, but I would not search from that from a work computer.
Oh, I don't want it on my computer either.
Yeah, I'm like,
I still get like Trump ads and shit.
Yeah.
So
if you look hard enough, you can kind of find it, but it might take you down paths you may not want to go. And I would just, you know, because kind of like, because you'd be like, how you know all this? And then you start just like, oh, I'm doing some research for my shit for my podcast. And my black.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Outside of like this platform, you think I'm going to go up to my friends and be like, do you understand? They've got, I don't even know what database. Like, it's whatever awful name it's probably. No, I guess it couldn't be called an awful name. Well, no, I guess it can be.
Here's the cool thing. It'd be on Reddit.
Oh, never mind.
Everything. Yeah, you can find everything you need to find, everything you didn't even think about looking for on Reddit. But no, it's kind of like, yeah, people tend to use the same old ones because it's like that crowd tend not to be the most educated crew to begin with. And I'm like, Mel Gibson grew up in Australia, and we have a stereotype, oh, Australia's all fine, even though they, as the Aborigines, how fine they are, and they'll give you a whole different answer. But it's kind of like, you don't hear Chris Hemsworth talking like this.
Not yet.
Or Margaret. Not yet. Like Margaret Robbie saying that. And it's like, Mel Gibson, like, oh, it's the dude from Lethal Weapon. It's the dude. It's kind of like, you started getting a clue around Braveheart. a little bit. And then you really start getting like around Apocalypto came. I was like, and Passion of Christ. It's like, is there anything I heard about Mel Gibson? He seemed to be real violence to prove a point type thing. And then all the stuff start coming out. He vanishes for a while. And then he's on like, you know, director Netflix type things. And then Hacksaw Ridge comes out. It's like, oh, he back. So some people was like having him back. Some people didn't. And for the most part, you hadn't thought about it. Like, you thought about the stuff he said in the past. He said some horrible stuff, but you hadn't really thought about it until now. And this reminder, like, that man never changed.
I just thought of this when you mentioned Chris Hemsworth. He's going to, probably not, but, you know, with him playing Hulk Hogan, which we've all forgotten about.
Yes, because it came out that she's talking about, I go to the gym, be bigger than I was in Thor. So you know what that means. That's the whole Mickey Rourke diet, and it's kind of like, you're only, like, it's going to be Hulk Hogan. It's only going to be the good part. Because it's kind of like, you really don't want to see Thor eating a pastrama bologna sandwich. Talking about, I only like black people if they 8 feet tall, because we're all a little racist. Like, although, if they really did that. Because we're wrestling fans. And we're like internet wrestling fans, like not super internet, but we know enough to know like how all the good and bad thing about Hulk Hogan. It's a whole lot of people don't realize how Hulk Hogan roll.
Oh yeah.
They just remember Hulkamania and Suburban Commando and Chef Boyardee, and that's all they remember. If you imagine they put that in a movie and you just hear that pop up, you just in there, they be like, what type of lies is this about Hulk Hogan? And it's like, ain't no way in the world Hulk Hogan would ever sign off on that.
No, because so he's not one of the executive producers, so no, there's no chance.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm not looking forward to this because they're going to whitewash this whole thing. It's like, oh, Chris Hemsworth going to get nominated for an award, and Hulk Hogan going to be back in the limelight again, and I'm just going to be like, whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. I keep thinking this movie's not going to get made.
It's going to get made.
We'll see. But that man,
it's going to be. Oh, one last thing, because you brought up Chris Hemsworth. I saw MIB International.
Oh, yeah.
That movie was so damn boring. It was not bad. It was just boring. I'm like, how you have that cast? And it's you got him and Tessa Thompson, who got great chemistry together. You got Liam Neeson and Rebecca Ferguson and a whole bunch of other people. And it's boring. And I'm like, damn, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones really made those movies, huh?
I like the first one, the second one, whatever, the third, I didn't really care. And then when this one came out, I'm like, nah, I'm good. So we'll get into that. I'll try and watch that. I think I have it recorded, actually.
And I'm like, the story's just boring. Like, I'm watching the whole thing. Like, it's not bad. It's just like, it's just stuff going on. And I'm like, that's the difference between being a good actor and a movie star. If you're in a movie star, then if the story don't help you, then the movie gonna be, it is what it is. And that's why I realized, like, Chris Hemsworth is very good. But if he ain't, it's just a funny thing. If you ain't got that it factor, you can't make bad things good. Yeah. And like Will Smith, and all I remind of is like, people thought about that Will Smith. I'm like, that Aladdin movie made almost $1 billion. And that's solely because Will Smith was in it. And it's kind of like, say what you want about Will Smith, he still got that movie star thing. And you either got it or you don't. And it's kind of like, The Rock is the last one that had that whole, I'm a movie star. Like, everybody else is like the same ones we've been had. We haven't had a new one since him. And I don't know who, maybe it's going to be Michael B. Jordan. I don't know. But it looked kind of like bleak.
We will pick that up next time. We do need to get out of here.
Yeah.
So, all right, gang. Next time will not be next week because I am going to the beach for 10 days. So, don't look for us next week. Maybe she can get on with Kevin and talk some old wrestling. Because I'm going to miss Extreme Rules. Is that this weekend?
The Extreme Rules, the Horror House.
Yes, whatever. So, check for us in a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it is. And Spotify, all the good stuff. I'm out of here. I'll let you take us out.
For Jeremy COVID Maze, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi.
True.
We are out.